Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hanging out with Clint Sterner and Wade Smith, I'm Jeremy Branham. We're being joined now by SMU head coach Sonny Dykes, one of the finalists for the Bear Bryant Award. Coach Dykes this season went 10-3, first 10-win season at SMU since 1984. Congratulations on a big year, and thanks for stopping by. Tell us about just your job this season with SMU and the season that you had there with the Mustangs.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Fun year. I mean, it really was. Fun year. Got off to a great start, 8-0, had an opportunity to go compete on, you know, a nationally televised game on ABC, College Game Day at Memphis, and had a hell of a ball game against Memphis. Came up a little short, lost by 7 or by 6, I believe. And, you know, an exciting football game, and was really proud of our guys. I think we reached, you know, the polls, maybe got as high as 16, something like that. So it was good. It was a good season for us, you know, in the second year there. You know, the best thing I think about this year was we learned a lot. You know, we had an opportunity to compete in some big games, and, you know, had a chance to come back and win some hard-fought games, and, you know, and then didn't end the season the way that we wanted to. So I think it left a bad taste in our mouth and certainly has us motivated moving forward. And, you know, we got a lot of guys coming back, got 9 starters on offense coming back, and, you know, had a little success on that side of the ball last year. So excited about the future, looking forward to, you know, to getting after it again soon. And it was a fun year, though.
Coach, there's, I think in your world and even in our world, I think there's mixed emotions and opinions about transfer portals, guys' ability to move from one program to the next. You guys obviously had a lot of transfer ins this year and did a hell of a job with those guys. They didn't just come in and fill voids. They came in and were contributors, key contributors, man. Was that something that you guys, when you took the job and you realized, hey, this year we're going to have to do that, or is it something that you just – you recruited the hell out of guys and ended up getting a bunch of them?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I don't think when I took the job at SMU, I didn't think we were going to become, a football program that took that many transfers. It's one of those things that happened. When we first got there, Reggie Robertson was a wide receiver that was at West Virginia that reached out to us and was coming home, was homesick, was really not happy where he was, and reached out and said, hey, you know, I want to get back to Dallas. I want to see my family. I want to be around my friends. I want to want to play at home. And so we got Reggie in, and he applied for a waiver and got a waiver and was immediately eligible and, you know, had about 1,200 yards receiving that year as a sophomore. And so I think at that point people looked at Reggie and said, wow, this happened, you know, and this kid had this kind of success. And you know, that first year we weren't very good, and Reggie was certainly a bright spot for us. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like the floodgates opened, you know. And the big one for us was obviously Shane Buchel coming over from Texas. And same thing, Shane was a Dallas-Fort Worth kid that had a lot of success. That Texas started 19 games there, you know, won some big games, played well, and, you know, ended up losing the job to Sam Ellinger. And so, you know, was looking around. You know, Shane just wanted to go play someplace. And the great thing about Shane, he was one of those kids that graduated, you know, in a very little amount of time. He had 2 years to play. So he came in, had a great year for us this year. He's got another year next year. And as he came in, all of a sudden, like I said, more kids got interested. And you know, we started getting kids that were calling us. And at one point, you know, during the middle of the season, we had 48 kids or people that were interested in coming back, that their high school coaches had reached out. They had reached out to players on our team, you know, different things like that. We had 48 guys on a board that were interested in doing it. And so the big thing you got to do is you have to understand, look, you're going to build your program with high school kids. You know, we just are. Right now, we're not going to probably get as many high-profile kids, or at that point, we weren't, because we hadn't won. You know, we just hadn't won, and there hadn't been a lot of success at SMU through the years. So for us, it was a way to get a better player, you know, somebody that was a highly regarded guy that went to Arkansas or Nebraska or Texas A&M or wherever, you know, that's from DFW that wanted to come home and play. And so anyway, we took a lot of those guys. They've had success, and it's turned into a really good model for us. And the great thing we have at SMU is we have we've got graduate schools that are some of the top in the country. And so, you know, we have kids that go to really good institutions, graduate, and decide, hey, look, if I can stack a master's degree on top of this degree from the University of Texas and get a business degree from SMU, when I'm done with football now, I'm pretty well set up. And And Shane was one of those kids that did that, and now that's become a model.
Coach, you mentioned Shane Bouchel. I'm interested. I know a lot of our listeners know who he is, watched him win a bunch of games, respect the hell out of him as a player, both at Texas and your place. How does that work when not necessarily the transfer portal and moving and all that, but is that something where a Tom Herman and you talk and go, hey, man, this is a great kid. This is a guy that will come in and lead your program, and you don't have to worry about, and y'all exchange opinions of that kid. Is that pretty common?
Yeah, it is. I mean, as coaches, we always want what's best for the players, and if somebody's looking for another opportunity, then we're going to talk to one of our counterparts and just let them know the everything about the kid, the good, the bad, everything about him. And, because we want him to go someplace and be successful and be happy and have a chance to play. The unique thing about Shane was when I was head coach at Cal, we recruited him there. So I knew him a little bit there. And then, we played him when I was at Cal. They came to Berkeley and he played as a true freshman, started, had a big game against us. Cal ended up winning the game late and kind of a shootout, but I got a chance to see him play firsthand, and I got a chance to see him, to throw all the deep balls he threw against us. And I walked out of that game. I walked out of that game going, number one, this guy throws a remarkable deep ball, and he does. I mean, I've had a chance to work with some good quarterbacks. Nick Foles, who was Super Bowl MVP, Jared Goff was a first pick in the NFL draft. A bunch of guys I've been fortunate to have had some good ones. And Shane throws as good a deep ball as any of those guys or anybody really that I've been around. And so I saw that in that game. And I also saw that just how he competed and the way he handled himself. Being a starter at the University of Texas at quarterback as a true freshman, that's taken on a lot. And I love the way he handled it. I love the way he interacted with his players. And then as this thing started to unfold, obviously I talked to Tom, I talked to assistants, talked to people close to the program, and they all said the same thing. Great player, but even better person. And I think that's proved to be true. I mean, he's come in, he's helped us change our culture. He's just a really remarkable young kid. And so we're glad to have him and really excited about what he's going to do next year.
So being at an AAC university or in that conference and being in a university that is in a major metropolitan area, there's a certain set of assets that you have in that, but there's a certain set of things that are kind of detriments when you're competing and recruiting with certain universities where it's the only game in town. You're dealing with small towns where – hey, if you go to Tuscaloosa, they're all about Bama. You know what I mean? And okay. So it's just a little different recruiting that you have to deal with. How do you focus on keeping those guys in Dallas, because it's a recruiting hotbed? How do you focus on that and deal with the strengths and the weaknesses of being in a major metropolitan area and how that helps you and hurts you?
Well, number one, it helps because you have access to players, and so what we can do, and we're, in the same situation with Houston and Dana and I kind of, have a clear understanding of this. I mean, he recruited Houston for 20 years, just like I recruited Dallas. And so when we were assistants together at Texas Tech, he was coming to Houston, I was going to Dallas. We were sharing stories about, which city was better, produced more guys. There was always a constant battle between us going on. And it's funny now that he's here and I'm there and, we're both really glad to be where we are. I think we've been around in our profession, and we know how much potential both of these jobs have and just what it's like to be in a city that produces this kind of talent, has this kind of coaching. But you're blessed to be able to get those guys on campus. You're blessed because, they can get to know you, they can get to know your program, you can get to know them and see it and really build those relationships that are so important in recruiting. But as you said, sometimes, you're dealing with the Texans here or pro sports, or we're driving to College Station to watch a game, and we're dealing with the same thing in Dallas. There's a lot of options for that entertainment dollar. And so, what we have to do is just continue to build a brand within Dallas. We've worked really hard to do that, to try to engage the city of Dallas. And, we have a very small student body. I mean, we're about 6,500 undergraduate students. And so, we don't have a lot of alumni. We're not graduating 20,000 people a year. Like some institutions. And so what we got to do is we have to engage the casual football fan in Dallas. Somebody that might have gone to Texas Tech or Texas A&M or University of Texas or Oklahoma that wants to support the Dallas community and come to our games and watch, quality college football. And so, there are blessings about it and there are curses a little bit about it as well, but I'd certainly rather have it that way. And what that's allowed us to do, as I said earlier, is get those kids that have gone to those other places, have gone to those towns and have, have had success. I mean, we're not transferring guys back home that haven't played.
Right.
These guys have all gone to these programs. They've played. They've been successful. They've put up numbers. But they decide at some point, you know what, my family can't come, my friends can't come, and, you know, I just, for whatever reason, doesn't feel like home. So let me go back home and try to do it for my city.
Were you talking about doing it for your city and capturing that market there? Whose idea was it to wear the Triple D helmet logo when you went over there to play TCU? Because that was a big deal from my perspective. I'm from Dallas.
Yep.
I know about that rivalry, SMU and TCU. Whose idea was that? And shout out to them because they did a hell of a job.
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, I don't have many good ideas. That was
you.
That was an idea that I you know, conceptualized actually a long time ago. You know, coming to Dallas and recruiting the city of Dallas, I always would, you know, I'd go into these high schools and you know, I'd go into Carter High School and I would see, you know, logos from everywhere else, but I wouldn't see anything from SMU. I'd go into DeSoto High School. I'd go into Cedar Hill. I'd go into these high schools, Duncanville, that are putting out all this great talent, you know, and I'd go through the halls and I'd see the players and they're wearing every logo, but they weren't wearing SMU. And so at that point, and again, that kind of hatched that idea for me when I was at Texas Tech in the early 2000s. I just spent so much time in Dallas recruiting that I always remember thinking, you know, SMU somehow has got to engage this community and get guys from all over Dallas to be interested in SMU. So when I got the job there, that was one of the things that we decided, hey, look, let's try to come up with a campaign that's going to, you know, celebrate the kids in their neighborhoods that stay local. And so, you know, that I conceptualized it and got it to our creative team, and then they figured it all out, you know. And so the Triple D logo was really, that wasn't completely my idea. It was my idea. Let's try to engage Dallas. And then it was the same thing with Dallas on the uniforms. You know, let's try to become Dallas's home football team. And then the Born and Raised campaign came out of that as well. And where we put billboards up, you know, in kids' neighborhoods that have decided to stay close and go to SMU. So, you know, all that kind of took on a life of its own. You know, we didn't do it year one, quite frankly, because we knew it was going to be a struggle. We weren't going to be very good.
Right.
And so, you know, we thought year two, about the third week of fall camp, I remember getting with my operations guy, and I said, hey, man, let's get these uniforms ordered. We're going to have a chance to have a good football team, and let's roll this out together, you know, when we have some success and people can get behind it. So it all kind of fit together and worked out well.
Coach, I think I know the answer to this question, at least one of your answers to this question. We're at the 2020 Bear Bryant Awards, obviously. You've had a hell of a career and a great year, and you've come a long way, man. And I know there's some coaches in your background that obviously helped mold you and impacted you throughout your career. Can you give us some who a few of those guys are and why?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I was really fortunate in 1997 to hook up with Hal Mumme. You know, I went to University of Kentucky as a graduate assistant in 97 and had a chance to kind of go be part of, you know, Hal Mumme bringing the air raid to the SEC. And so we got there, we had Tim Couch, and, you know, it was a great experience, and it was Mike Leach's GA in 1997, so you can only imagine what that was like.
Yeah.
And so it was a great learning experience for me, and so I got introduced to an offense that I think really revolutionized college football. I think when you go and you look at the way the game is played today, you know, Hal Mumme has probably as much impact on college football and now pro football as anybody in the game, just the way the game's played now. And so I was lucky to catch on with Hal, and then, as I said, I went to Texas Tech with Mike in 2000 and you know, worked on the coaching staff that had Art Briles and had Dana Holgorsen and had, you know, a bunch of guys. Cliff Kingsbury was a quarterback, and Sonny Cumbie was a quarterback, and Graham Harrell was a quarterback, and, oh, by the way, Lincoln Riley was a student coach, and, you know, all these guys, and Dave Aranda was a GA, who's now the D coordinator at LSU. So there's all these bright young minds that were just sitting around and talking about football all the time, and so it was just a pretty remarkable place to be. You know, you could see the passion that all of us really had for the game and the appreciation that we had for the way Mike allowed us to, you know, to coach and to have an influence. And the one thing about Leach that he's always done so well is he's not afraid to, you know, promote young people. You know what I mean? If you're competent, you work hard, you learn, you're eager, he doesn't care how old you are, what your experience is. He's gonna allow you to work yourself up the ladder. And a lot of us had jobs probably before we were ready to have them. You know what I mean? But it was an awesome place to have a chance to be a coach. And I think those guys certainly had a huge impact on my career. And then, you know, one of the things I've always tried to do was pattern myself off of Bill Snyder. And I know he's receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award tonight. And, you know, my dad and Bill were close friends. You know, Bill was probably my dad's closest friend in coaching. And I got to know Coach Snyder just through my dad and just respected, you know, the way he did things, just his work ethic, his ability to you know, win at some place that hadn't won historically. Just the way he did it, I think, became a template for a lot of young coaches, and certainly did for me. And so I just have the utmost respect for him and excited to have a chance to see him tonight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.